The topic of the day is, why should we share the hope of the gospel? An elderly Chinese woman had two large pots. Each one of them hung on the ends of a pole that she carried across her neck. She'd walk from the village down to the stream and get water. One of those pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. At the end of the long walks from the stream to the house, the cracked pot usually arrived with about half of the water that it started out with. For a full 2 years, this went on every day, with the woman bringing home only 1.5 pots of water. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishment, but the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection, and miserable that it could only do half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be bitter failure, the cracked pot spoke to the woman one day by the stream and said, "I'm ashamed of myself because this crack in my side causes all this water to leak out on the way back to your house." The old woman smiled and she said, "Did you notice that there are flowers on your side of the path but not on the other pot's side? That's because I've always known about your flaw, so I planted flower seeds on your side of the path. And every day while we walk back home, you water those flowers. For 2 years, I've been able to pick those beautiful flowers to decorate our table when we had guests. Without you, just being the way you are, we'd have never known the beauty of those flowers in our home." Look with us in your Bible to a single verse of Scripture today, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Today I want to give you the top 10 reasons why Christian people should share the hope of the gospel to the world. Reason number one, we're commanded to do so. I just read the verse. God commanded us to preach the gospel to all of His creation. It was Christ who said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This is the first and the most important reason, and could be a standalone reason, because God said to do it. Reason number two, hell is real. It really does exist. The Lord said, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he was killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Luke chapter 12, verse 5. If hell did not exist, we'd have a legitimate reason for being passive about telling people about the hope of the gospel. But hell is real, and those who do not know the Lord when they die will find out just how real it really is. If we have God's word to tell us what awaits those guilty sinners, we should act upon it. How cold-hearted it would be for us not to warn people of the reality of hell. Reason number three, God commanded us to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And, you know, I don't know of anybody that wants to go to hell. I think most of us, if we were asked the question, "Would you like to go to hell when you die?" most people would say no. Now, there are some today who say, "Yeah, I want to go to hell. I'm looking forward to it." They serve the evil one in this world. But let me tell you something about them. They don't really want to go to hell. What their problem is, they're angry with God, and they'd rather go to hell than to face God. I had a relative who was abused by her mother when she was a child. She feared going to heaven because her mother would be there. And I assured her many times through the years that if her mother was there, she'd be a different person, and so will you. You won't remember all those terrible things because God will wipe away every tear. Let me tell you, it's sad to believe that you have to go to hell. But if we love ourselves, we're not going to want to go to hell. And if you love someone else, you certainly don't want them to go. A firefighter who rescues people from a burning building is probably fearful and would rather be at home with his family, but he ignores his fears and denies what he wants to do in order to be there to rescue someone from harm. Like him, our thoughts are not on ourselves, but they're on the fate of those who will perish without Christ. Reason number four to share the hope of the gospel. Obedience is the evidence of salvation. You know, when you were saved, you prayed at that altar and you asked the Lord to fill your heart and to become the Savior of your life. And He did that. But then from there, He commanded us to do several things. First of all, we're commanded to tell others. Because if you think about it this way, if nobody had been there to tell you, how would you have known that you needed to be saved? So it's up to us now as Christians to tell others. And obedience is the evidence of that salvation. Those who are not saved will not tell someone about Christ. Those who are and understand the joys of heaven that are waiting and the peace that passes understanding right now will want to share it. So our obedience will demonstrate just that. We're not saved by our obedience. We're not saved by being obedient. We are obedient because we're saved. We're saved because God called us and we prayed and accepted Him. It's really that simple. But obedience is done not because we have to, but because we want to. I had a college professor who put it like this: I want to serve the Lord with all of my heart. And because of that, I will do anything my family wants me to do because I love them. So why wouldn't I do the same for a loving God who gave everything for me? Obedience is the evidence of salvation. The Lord says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Reason number five to spread the hope of the gospel: to remain silent is a sin. As soon as the Holy Spirit was given to man, the apostles began to preach the gospel right at that moment. God had granted everlasting life to a dying humanity. To say they were excited was an understatement. They couldn't stay in the upper room because God's love provided them to reach out to the lost. I remember hearing Gloria Gaither talking one time about what then was their brand new song called "I Am Loved." And she said, "You know, I can love other people and I can risk loving other people with the understanding they might not love me back. But I can take that risk because God loves me." You see, God does love us and He wants us to spread the gospel. So if we squelch that and remain silent, it is a sin. That's the opposite of obedience. As soon as the Holy Spirit was given, the apostles began to preach the gospel. God had granted everlasting life to a dying humanity. They could not stay lost in the upper room because love provided them to reach out to the lost. To know Him who loves good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James chapter 4, verse number 17. Reason number six to spread the gospel: evangelism deepens our walk with God. Nothing teaches a person to be a fisherman like going fishing. You can talk about it all you want to and draw it on the bulletin board. You can even practice tying lures and what kind of bait to use. You can have all kinds of discussion, but you'll never learn to be a fisherman until you stick the hook in the water. It's that simple. Interacting with the lost means that we are sharing the gospel with them. Evangelism means to share the hope of the gospel, and that deepens our walk with God. You see, it's like learning to follow the Lord. If you want to learn to follow the Lord, but you refuse to tell others about Christ, you can't really connect with the Lord because that is His main passion, is for people to hear the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ and for us to be found faithful sharing it with them. So evangelizing and telling others about Christ will deepen our walk with the Heavenly Father. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's from Philemon chapter 5, verse number 6. Share the gospel today and deepen your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you it will work. Reason number 7 to share the hope of the gospel. It causes us to have to search the scriptures. Wanting to know how to answer every man will send us to God's word. The Bible tells us, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. And that verse is simply telling us that we need to study the Bible because we need to know what the Bible says. I can remember one time many years ago when I first started in the ministry. It was about 35 years ago, a young man getting started in the ministry, and I had the opportunity to work with a group of young people. These young people were in church, but many of them were very poorly educated on the Word of God. Some of them were new converts. A few of them had been in church all their lives, but they'd been playing when they went to church. They had not been studying the Word. And so I got out a Bible trivia game and started working with those young people to learn the Word of God. You know, it was amazing how much they learned. But what was more amazing is how much I learned, because I had to dig for answers. And when those young people had all kinds of questions, and I had to be able to answer them. And I can remember digging for answers. And one of my most common answers when they asked me a question was, I'm going to have to research that and get back to you. And that was a very common answer that I gave to those young people in those days. They understood that, and we learned together. We studied together, and those young people grew in their faith, but so did I. You see, when you search the scriptures, it draws you closer to the Lord. And when you're evangelizing people and you're talking to people about the hope of the gospel, you're going to get a lot of questions. Are you afraid of that? Don't be. Have you ever had a Jehovah's Witness come and knock at your door and you don't let them in? I let them in. I want to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with them the hope of the gospel that they perhaps have missed along the way. And you'll notice there's one of them that's well-educated and one of them that is a new convert. I like to go after the new convert because he's not well-grounded in their beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, when you evangelize people, you're going to run into a lot of things out there. I know as a radio broadcaster, I deal with many different churches, denominations across the board, and people everywhere. People who call themselves Christians, and maybe some of us would think they're not, but they call themselves Christians, and they come to us, and I deal with all of those people. Someone asked me one time, where all have you preached, Brother Ed? And I usually answer by saying I've been everywhere except a Catholic Mass. And the only reason I haven't preached at a Catholic Mass is because they never invited me. I've been to a Catholic Mass. I've been to an Episcopal church. I've been to churches that are outside the Protestant realm. And I've probably been to most every type of Protestant church there is in America. And I'm not boasting to say that. I'm thrilled that God opened the door for me to preach there, just like the apostles and the disciples have done for many years since. I will preach where God opens the door. That's part of the ministry God's called me to do. I don't judge people. I just preach the word. And you know, when you search the scriptures, you begin to learn to give an answer for things you believe. A man who just passed away recently, Dr. Ravi Zacharias, is a man that I have learned to love for many years. He was a man who could explain the deepest theological, biblical concept in terms that even a child could understand. I loved to hear his expository preaching, and I still listen to it. In fact, we still carry his program. He recorded so many things during his lifetime, I don't think they could ever get out of date. And so we're going to continue to carry them as long as they're available. And I think that's going to be for a long time to come. Listening to a man like him will cause you to search the scriptures. He'll challenge your beliefs. He'll challenge what you think you understand. And he'll present the word of God to you, as we should be doing to those who don't know the Lord. It's wonderful to share the personal experiences we've had with the Lord. It's even more wonderful to share our personal experiences and relate them to Scripture. Because when you do that, you tie everything you do back to the Lord, and that causes others to gain faith in you and in the God we serve. Reason number 8 to share the hope of the gospel. It deepens our gratitude for the cross. You know, the further I get down the road in my salvation, the more I appreciate what God did for me on that cross. I stop and realize what a life of sin would have meant to me, and I was definitely headed that way as a youngster. I was headed down the wrong path as a teenager. I hadn't given my life to the Lord, and I remember those days so very clearly. I rebelled against God. I knew about God. I'd been to church when I was a kid. I'd heard all of that. I'd heard about the plan of salvation. I'd been there on Easter and Christmas and days in between. I'd been to Bible studies and Sunday school and vacation Bible school. I'd been to all of those things. But when God finally got a hold of me, He took a teenage kid and saved his soul and brought me out of a life of sin. And I look back now in my 60s at all of these years that I've served the Lord. I cannot imagine what it would have been like without the cross all these years. I can tell you I probably wouldn't be here today. I was headed down a path of destruction, and that path usually does not lead to a fruitful, wonderful life. And I can tell you the cross has brought me to where I am today. As we continually preach that cross, it will deepen our understanding of what God did for us through Christ. That's a promise. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Reason number 9, to share the hope of the gospel. It deepens our prayer life. You know, when you begin to share the gospel, you start praying for people in a way that you've never prayed before. You pray for the lost, that the light would come on and they could see the hope of the gospel through you and through your witness. It deepens your prayer life. Our fears and our sense of inadequacy will drive us to our knees. And folks, that is the absolute safest place any Christian could ever be, on our knees. We reveal our love for the lost by pondering their fate and asking God to help them find Him. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, Romans 10:1. Therefore, I pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong, 2 Corinthians 12:10. And finally, we've been commanded to imitate the Apostle Paul. Paul showed his love for God and for sinners in his obedience to the Great Commission. I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. Once upon a time, there was an older man. He was broke and living in a tiny house and driving an old beat-up car. He was living on the meager amount of $99 a month from his Social Security check. At age 65, he decided things had to change. He thought about what he had to offer, and he made a decision. His friends had always raved about his chicken recipe and how good his chicken was. So he decided that was his best shot at making a change in his life. So he left his beloved state, and he traveled to many different states trying to sell his recipe. He told restaurant owners that he had a mouth-watering chicken recipe that they would love, took them a sample. He even offered the recipe to them for free, just asking if they would pay him a small percentage on the items of chicken they sold. Sounds like a really good deal, doesn't it? Well, unfortunately, not many restaurant owners thought it was a good deal. He heard no over and over and over, maybe 1,000 times he heard no over the next few years. But even after all those rejections, he never gave up. He believed his chicken recipe was something special. After being rejected 1,009 times, number 1,010 was his first yes. With that success, Colonel Harlan Sanders changed the way Americans eat fried chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken was born, popularly known as KFC these days. Remember, when you're thinking about giving up on someone that you've shared the gospel with who's never responded, maybe you've shared the gospel 1,009 times and heard no from them. Never give up. Never surrender. Keep going back. In the end, God wins. You see, I've read the back of the book, and you can read it for yourself, and you can see that we win in the end.